Well, hey, I want to talk today about the heart of the Father. At the end of service, I'm going to invite you, fathers, I'm going to invite you to respond to hearing the heart of the Father. But in this message, I want to, for you, redefine success for a minute. This is not going to be a message where you hear the things you should be doing better, the ways in which you're failing, or the ways that you need to be a better man. Today, I want to encourage you that God has given you access to a beautiful and incredible and powerful and successful life through Him. And that honestly, He is well pleased with you. That though you might feel often like you don't know what you're doing or aren't doing it well, that God is actually way more pleased with you than you realize. So I want to say, if you're not a father, the heart of the Father still applies to you, though contextually we're speaking to dads. Within all of Scripture, we're speaking to all of you. And so even as we respond specifically to, we're going to pray for fathers. Have you come up? We're going to pray. If you can't come up the altar, we have a team that'll be in the back praying as well for you. But I really specifically want to pray just the heart of the Father upon you, that you would leave encouraged this morning. So that being said, as I'm speaking, if anything starts to prick your spirit, if you ever had that where you hear an encouraging message, but you're wrestling with some stuff, here's how you know. When you feel judged by others, even though no one's judging you, that's how you know something is like hitting you in a unique space. Is I really want to invite you to submit that to the Lord, because nothing that I'm saying today is meant to chastise you, but only to celebrate who you are in Christ, okay? So at any point you're like, I'm wrestling with something, just say, Jesus, I give that to you, okay? Can we practice that? Say, Jesus, I give that to you. One more time, Jesus, I give that to you. Whatever it is, we surrender it to Him, and He's good. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, I thank You so much for Your word, and I thank You for the blessing of Jesus Christ. And I pray that this morning, as we dive in really deep into Your word, that You would speak to us all, and You would reveal to us the heart of the Father and the joys of living near Your heart. We thank You in Your name. Amen. You know, as a dad, one of the thoughts I've had fairly consistently is, am I doing a good job, right? Like, I know for a fact that I'm not doing a perfect job, even this morning. But I would ask often, am I doing a good job? Am I doing good at this? Any dads ever asked that question? Like, am I doing a good job? Like, are they making it because of me, my children, or despite me, right? Have you ever asked that, right? Is it because of me, or like, would they be better, you know? And I'm holding, I ask these questions. I've asked in my life, and I think everyone has asked, whether you're a dad or not, am I doing a good job in my life, right? Unless you're just a profound narcissist, you have probably at one point stepped back from your life and said, Am I nailing it? Like, am I doing good? Like, is this good? Am I getting the most out of my life? Am I doing well? Am I letting people down? Am I letting myself down? Am I letting God down? I think that tension lives inside a lot of us as people. And we wonder, how do I know? Unfortunately, the world around us really clings to that uncertainty to offer us a lot of solutions, right? That's what advertising is. Hey, that sense that you're not enough, what if you bought a new Chevy truck? Like, that would conquer the mountain in my soul, or whatever their like slogan is, right? Right? I should just do it, right? I don't know what it is, but I should do it, right? And that's a lot of the language that modern marketing takes, which is the sense of, hey, that thing missing within you, what if it's a Buick or a Mercury or whatever, you know, Matthew McConaughey is selling now, right? It's got to be something that's missing. So the question is, how do we know if we're doing well, let's say, in this life? Let me rephrase that in another way. How do you know, dads, if you're successful as a father? I want to try to take some of those questions that nag at us out of our minds for a second and implant another question that I think will lead you to a better answer, okay? Here's the other question. Do I know the Father's heart? This is the question that will lead you to a better answer. You know, sometimes you can be looking for the right answer but have the wrong question, right? Do I know the heart of the Father? Do I know His heart? Today I want to explain the heart of the Father, okay? The Father's heart is the will, the ways, the perfect affection of Father God. And the question is, how, if I'm trying to seek and say, do I know the Father's heart? The question is, how can I know the Father's heart, right? If we have Almighty Father God in heaven, how can I possibly know His heart? Especially when Isaiah 55 tells us this. Have you ever read this? Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Every human being should, in some sense, especially as a believer, understand this is true. The thoughts and the ways of God are so much higher than our ways, right? I mean, they have to be. I mean, there's other people whose ways and thoughts are higher than my ways and thoughts, right? How much more the thoughts of God, the Almighty, perfect Creator. And so the question is, if the thoughts and the ways of God are so much higher than our ways, how could we possibly know them? Is there some kind of enlightenment we have to achieve or some kind of format we'd have to go through to find them? And many people have tried to seek through all kinds of pagan spiritual means a way in which to be enlightened towards God, right? But as believers, we are asking the same question. How can I know the thoughts of God? And let me tell you, it's through our relationship with the triune God. Someone say Trinity. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here, I got a little graph for you guys here. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a very difficult thing to even apply metaphor to because it breaks down so easily. But the Holy Spirit is the Trinity is the being of which the Father and the Holy Spirit exist in. And the word Trinity is a word that was given to describe the triune or three-part nature of who God is. So we have the Father, say the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so here's the important part. The Father is what? And the Son is? And the Holy Spirit is, but the Father is not the, and the Holy Spirit is not the, and the Son is, yeah, there we go. Yeah. And so there's this unison. So we have within the Trinity one distinct God, but three distinct beings. You're like, that's complicated. I'm like, yeah, it's God. Like, I want Him to be really simple and fit on, you know, my dashboard. He doesn't. In the same way as we see this graph, just kind of, you know, if you tilted it a little bit, you'd get the same kind of idea, right? In the same way that the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but they are within one another as distinct beings, they also glorify one another. So the Son glorifies the Father, and the Father glorifies the Spirit, and the Spirit glorifies the Son. They work in unison as one being, but three distinct persons. Now, importantly, this is not polytheism. So sometimes you'll talk to somebody and they'll say, listen, no, these are three different gods. Christianity is polytheistic. Often if you're talking to someone from the Muslim faith, they say they're polytheistic. And it's simply not true because all of them are described as part of the same being, which is the Godhead, Yahweh, though there is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they're three distinct beings, but one distinct God, not three gods. Jesus is not the birthed son. So though it's the son, this is not like Zeus who comes down and has sexual relations with an earthly woman and produces a son, Hercules, who must go through the trials of Hercules in order to achieve his godness and be now fully God, right? Have you ever heard of, do you know Hercules, right? Hercules is half man, half God in the myth, and he has to do things so that his half-human part can find his whole God self. Another version of this is called Mormonism, right? That the father has relations with the bride who creates the son, and the son, Jesus, who's the child of God, has to go through the trials, has shown us the way, and now we can do the same thing he did. Okay, that was a lot. But my point is, that is not Jesus. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. Three distinct. So why am I saying this? Is it because I want to confuse everyone? No, it's because I want us to understand by the way by which we know the Father and his heart, okay? We see the Father through the Son. If you're writing notes, write that down. We see the Father through the Son. The question is, how can we know the ways of God if they're so great and mighty? Okay, we see the Father through the Son. This is one of the ways. Jesus is the Son of God, sent by the Father to die for our sins. Right, most famously, John 3:16. I think even though times have changed, it's still the most famous scripture in the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only," what? "Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So the Father and Son and Holy Spirit working together, the Son is sent by the Father to die for our sins. And Jesus stated on earth, his goal was to do the will of who? Take a guess. The Father. That when Jesus was here on earth, he said over and over again, they're like, "What are you here to do?" He said, "The will of my Father who sent me." He says in John 5:30, he says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Who sent Jesus? Well, who sent him? The Father. And he sent him to do the work of the Father. Are you still with me? Okay, I'm trying to condense the Trinity here as we can. But I want us to understand, we see the Father through the Son. Let me read the words of Jesus, okay? John 5:36 says this, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John." This is Jesus speaking. "For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard." Did you get that? He's speaking to the people. He says, "Listen, you've not heard his voice. His form you've never seen." Right? How do we see the Father? He says, "And you do not have his word abiding in you." We'll get to that. "For you do not believe the one whom he sent." Who did the Father send? Jesus, his Son. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have eternal life." That's a powerful statement. He says, listen, you're looking for eternal life. You're looking, what does he mean by eternal life? To live with the Father forever. To be near the Father's heart for now and eternity. You're searching scripture for it, but you've missed it. Why? Because you've rejected the Son, Jesus Christ. So God is revealed through Jesus Christ, yes? God, according to Jesus, the Father is revealed through him. And this is the good work of God, that God reveals himself through the Word. If you're writing notes, write that down. God reveals himself through the Word. And there's two forms of this Word. There's the living Word, and then there's the inspired Word. There's the living word that is Jesus Christ. And then there's the inspired word that is Scripture, the Holy Bible. So Jesus is the living word from God. Amen? Oh, we missed that. Jesus is the living word from God. Okay, we got it that time. Everyone's thinking about those nachos. Look at John 1. Man, if you've ever read, someone said, hey, you're a new believer. Why don't you open up the Bible? You should just begin reading the Gospels. You said, okay, I'm going to read the book of John. Have you ever done that? When you started your faith, like, let's read it. And you read it, and you're like, the word. Like, what? What? Right? Be honest. You're like, what? This is complicated. Because if we don't understand contextually, it can be hard to be like, what is he speaking of? But we understand the living word of God. We understand what he's speaking of. Let me read it and I'll explain it. It says, in the beginning was the word. Say word. And the word was with who? God. And the word was, okay, do you remember the graph? The word was with God and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Notice it doesn't say all other things. It says all things were made through him. And without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this is Jesus Christ. When you read John 1, you're like, what is the word? The word is Jesus. This idea of logos, this idea of thought, is greater than just the idea of word, meaning a spoken word. It's he who is to God what man's word is to himself, the manifestation or expression of himself to those without him. Jesus is the revealed word of God. I know this is deep theology, but you guys like real stake here of the word of God. So you're okay with it, okay? Yeah? Jesus is the revealed word of God. He is the spoken truth of God's being. When God created the universe, how did he do it? What? He spoke it. He spoke it. When God speaks, life is formed, order is created. Amen? God speaking, when I speak, sometimes I just say things. When God speaks, heavens are shaped. Truth is revealed. What wasn't becomes what is. Jesus is the revealed word of God. Therefore, it is Jesus, the word, who is fully attached in knowledge and being to the will of God. Jesus knows the will of the Father. That's why Matthew 11, he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except who? The Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone, look at this last part, no one knows the Father except the Son, and who else? Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. How do we see the Father? It's through the Son. It's the Son who reveals the Father. So that means the Word of God, the Holy Scripture, Jesus is the cornerstone of even the inspired Word of God that is Scripture. So Jesus is the spoke. He is the Word of God living in being, but he's also the cornerstone of the written, the inspired Word of God. That's why in John 5, he says, you've been seeking the Scriptures, but you've not accepted me, so you will not find the Father. Even though he's there in the Scriptures, you won't find him because you've not received me. You're looking for eternal life, but only Jesus is eternal life. Because if you read Scripture, then you must accept the divinity of Christ. You cannot profess to believe Scripture and also reject the divinity of Christ. That is called heresy. Because both are the spoken word of God. So you say, well, then how do I see the Father? Well, if Jesus reveals the Father, then to see the Father, we must look at Jesus. If you're taking notes, write that down. To see the Father, you can even say I instead of we, must look at Jesus. See, to truly behold the Father in his heart, remember this is our question, how do I know the heart of the Father? Then I have to look at Jesus. I have to look purely at Jesus Christ. Christians, this is 99.9% of our life. All right? The other 0.1 is just blinking. Our whole life is to look at Jesus Christ, to look at his ministry, to look at his death, to look at his resurrection, to look at his ascension, to look at his glory in heaven, and to look forward to his second coming. It's so important that we look. There is a lot of things in the world, this isn't in my notes, but there's a lot of things in the world that are trying to tell you what Jesus did or did not do. Well, Jesus would. He would do this. And I just want to tell you that you will know the truth if you spend your life gazing at Jesus Christ. You will not be deceived about who he is and who his Father is if you look at him. Right? No one could convince my children if they came to pick them up at school that they were me, because every day my children see me and they know me and they know my voice. So no one could convince them, as dorky as they can be sometimes, right? That they are me because they know me and they've seen me. You want to see the Father? Look at Jesus every day. John 17 says, when Jesus spoke in these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. You guys remember the graph that was over here? Glorification, the mutual glorification in the Trinity. That the Son may glorify you, since you've already given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. There's no other way to the heart of the Father than through Jesus Christ. But I don't say that as a scary thing. I say that as a massive blessing. You don't have to find another way. You don't have to earn a different way. The only way that you need to the Father's heart is Jesus Christ. That's why in John 14, Jesus said to them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's so important. How do we come to the Father? Through who? Through who? So if someone said, I can come to the Father a different way, you would say, no. The only way you can come to the Father is through. And that wouldn't be to put them down, correct? But just that you know the truth. It's like if someone told you the only way to the pool is to run through this brick wall, you would say, no, I understand what's fundamentally true about the world, and that only leads to the hospital or death, depending on how hard you run. But the only way to the Father is through Jesus. But good news, Jesus has come to have a relationship with each one of us. So it's not like we're longing to climb the ladder into heaven and hope to get a hold of him and find him and search him and know him, and then we might have access to the Father through some laborious effort of work or some moral ladder of philosophy. The reality is that Jesus has already come down to meet with us. That he's already come down. Why? So that you might know the heart of the Father for now and for eternity. That you might be near the heart of the Father. That you might be embraced by a loving God who says, listen, you're no longer slaves. You're co-heirs with Christ. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You've received sonship. You say, it's so undeserved. And he says, amen, amen, amen. All the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. It is undeserved. But that's why you should just look at Jesus every day and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're revealing the heart of the Father to me. To know Jesus is to know the Father's heart. And to be near Jesus is to be near the heart of the Father. What I love is that Jesus sent his Spirit to dwell with each one of us. Right? We're Pentecostals, amen? Jesus sent his Spirit to dwell with us. Why did he do that? Is it just so someone in this church can get up and speak in tongues? No. Is it just so we can have really rambunctious worship and praise? No, though boring worship is not my style. That's a personal choice. Why? Why does he send the Spirit? Why does he send another? When Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, he doesn't say, I'm going to send a lesser. He says, I'm going to send another counselor. Do you remember the chart? Can we put that up again? The graphic? I know we're deep in these slides. There's like 80 of them. Thank you, Jamie Ann. Right? He doesn't say, I'm going to send a lesser. The Son is not over here, and the Holy Spirit's not like detached in the waiting room of God. It's not a lesser. I mean, he is technically lower north to south on our axis here, but he is fully God. So when Jesus ascends, he sends fully God to dwell with you. So as much as we're finite beings and we struggle to know the will of God, the blessing is that the Holy Spirit resides in you and the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9. How many of you just love the word of God? Amen. Paul says this, but as it was written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Right? It says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the ways and thoughts of God are so much higher than ours, but who knows him? Who knows the thoughts of God? The Spirit of God. So that means that we can know the Father's heart by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is fully aware of the Father's heart. He knows the will. He knows the ways of God. It's in Scripture said, right? He searches the depths of God. Remember when Paul prayed, he said, oh, that you would know the depths and breadth and width of the love of God. And you're like, amen, I want to know that, Paul. How? Fair? I ask a lot of hows when I read the Bible. Is anyone else? Wow, Paul, that sounds amazing. How? By the Holy Spirit. By his leading. The Spirit knows the thoughts of God. The Spirit reveals the will of God. This is so important. The Spirit reveals the will and the word of God. This is what I mean. When you read Scripture, it's the Spirit who reveals the truth of Scripture. Did you know that? Maybe you don't believe me. 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, amen, but the Spirit who's from God. It's his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. You open the Bible and read, but it's the Spirit who helps you understand the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's the heart of the Father for you. It's what begins to tear away the lies of the world and implant the truth. It begins to tear away the lies that you're worthless and begins to implant the truth that you're a son of God. It begins to tear away the lies that you're a failure who has missed it and you're not on plan B, C, D. You're like on plan Z. That's what the enemy wants you to think. But it begins to implant the truth that God's will and way is good for your life and that everything was redeemable through him and that through Christ nothing is wasted and you've been called and anointed and gifted by him. And so there's a glorious future for you and your family. That's what the Holy Spirit does. How many of you are just thankful the Holy Spirit reveals the truth? And so when the Holy Spirit is revealing the Word of God to you, he's revealing the heart of the Father. Because remember, the heart of the Father is revealed in his word. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The Spirit reveals the heart of the Father. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Then he ascended. His disciples were like, no, don't do that. We need you. You said you're the way by which we see God. You're the way by which we get to the Father. What are we going to do without you, Jesus? And he sends his Spirit, the same Spirit that was upon him, the same Spirit that was a party of his death and resurrection. And he sends the Spirit descends on his disciples. And all of a sudden, tongues of fire and ministry and works. But more importantly, there's this incredible moment where they go before the council. The council said, who are these men? These are unlearned men. Got a bunch of hillbillies in here with doctorates of ministry. Where did they come from? And it was because the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had revealed the Father. And listen, that's for you. Here's what Jesus says to his disciples, which if you're a follower of Christ today, you are, so take heart. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Are you asking? See, the Father's given you his Spirit so you would know his heart. So you would know the wonder of relationship with the Father. See, I think often because many in this world have strained relationships with their father, or you even as a father felt like you had to earn the affection of your father, you will project that relationship onto Father God. So for many, he could seem distant, he could seem uninterested, or because you knew how much work it took to earn your father's approval, you can't imagine how much work it would earn to earn his approval. Oh my goodness. It's like straight A's, home runs in baseball. Like, what are we talking about here? What's it going to take? Right? And so often, our relationship with the Father God is so strained because we've still, even those with great fathers, this is not bashing fathers. I have a great father, but existing within each of us men is a desire to earn the approval of others. Fair? We feel this sense like we want to earn it. And they say, you don't need to earn it. We're like, I still feel like I need to. But that's not our relationship with Father God. The Father loves his children. And the Father has sent his Son to die for us. And the Son revealed the heart of the Father here on earth. And the Son restored us to the Father through his resurrection and now intercedes for us at the right hand of God. So when you pray, it's the Holy Spirit who turns your prayers into the and aligns them with the will of God. But it's Jesus at the right hand of God who mediates and intercedes on your behalf to the Father. That's a whole other sermon, but we'll get there. And when the Son ascends to his place at the right hand of God, of which we are thankful he is, then the Spirit is sent by the Son through the Father to dwell with us, to daily share the goodness of the Father with us, revealing his heart. If you say, the Holy Spirit's revealing to me, the Holy Spirit is not detached from the Father, right? I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. Well, he's part of the Trinity that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You still with me? So it's not like the Holy Spirit's over here doing some work and the Father's checking in with him on like a weekly conference call. Hey, what have you been telling them? Right? Pentecostals, we get confused about this. Everything the Holy Spirit's revealing is the heart of the Father. Are you with me? So if you're praying and the word begins to speak to you and you're like, wow, the love of God is so strong, you need to pause and say, oh my goodness, the Father is revealing to me how good his love is for me. How much he cares for me. The Father is revealing the wonders, the glory, the beauty, the love, the power, the freedom in his heart. The Father is revealing his purpose. The Father is revealing the authority in his calling, and he's revealing it by the Holy Spirit that he's set to be upon you. People would say, if we classify the Holy Spirit as just the gifts, that's why so many people write off the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit, we don't know how he works. Listen, the Holy Spirit is for today because he dwells with us, revealing the heart of the Father. He says, this is what's good. Let me show you in prayer and the word. And at the end of life, I don't know about you, but I might not always feel like a good dad. I blow it sometimes. But I want to get to heaven and have the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to know, I didn't get it perfect, but I got one thing right. As I sought the heart of the Father, and I taught my children to do the same. How do we hear the heart of the Father? Really practical steps, okay? You okay still? Okay. Is anyone else? I'm like warm. It's like 110. My goodness. If you flap your arms like a bird, I won't mind. It's getting a little pity in here, right? Okay, let me share this with you. Three practical steps to hear the heart of the Father. Ready? First is submit to the living word, Jesus. If Jesus knows the heart of the Father, And if knowing Jesus is knowing the Father, then you first must submit your heart to Jesus. If you're here and you've never submitted your heart to Jesus, then this is your day to say, okay, Jesus, I give you my heart. What does that mean? My heart, not just your organ, your inmost being. I give you my whole being, heart and soul, all to you. When we submit to the living word, maybe some of you are like, I've done that. I've said yes to Jesus. If you haven't, at the end, we'll pray for you. Come talk to us. We want to pray for you. I'll give you the opportunity. Some of you, you've made that choice, but you're like, you know, it's been a while since I've been just kind of doing things on my own. I've been going my own way. I want to encourage you, spend time with Jesus and submit your heart to him. Learn from him how to live like him. See him as your Lord and teacher and allow him to guide you and follow his leading. Okay, number two, meditate on the word that is scripture. So we submit to the word that is Jesus, and we meditate on the word that is scripture. Just as Jesus is the word of God, so is the living, written, anointed, inspired word of God. And the heart of God is revealed through his holy scripture. And if you have submitted your heart to Christ, you will see him in every line. You'll see Yeshua in the whole Bible. But I love David. David had his problems, right? And I love all the psalmists. In fact, the great thing about the Psalms is no matter who was writing it, they had issues. Multiple writers in the Psalms. He says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, my eyes stayed open through the watches of the night that I might meditate on your promises. See, the word of God is the revealed heart of the Father. If you want to know the heart of the Father for your life, read the Word of God. If you're like, I'm not sure how to read the Word of God, then come to Alex's small group, and he will teach you how to read the Word of God, right? We'll teach you. Okay, third thing, become a good listener to the Spirit. So the Spirit is indwelt within us, but how often do we follow his leading on a daily basis? See, we're always like, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? I think we need to begin with, Holy Spirit, lead me and I'll follow you. We got to become good listeners to him though, right? We got to become good listeners to the Holy Spirit. Often the time we try to listen the most is when the most chaos and noise is happening in our life. And I got to say, it's hard to learn to listen when it's the loudest. Learn when it's quiet. Open the word. Say, Spirit, open my eyes. Sear my heart with the truth. Here's what's amazing. When you begin to seek the Spirit and say, would you reveal to me through your word? Would you reveal to me in prayer? I'm just going to listen to you. I'm going to wait on you. You're going to find that your prayer time is more vibrant because it is not dependent on what you're feeling in your prayer time. It's dependent on your ability to sit still and wait on God. When you read your word, you're going to find more clarity. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth. Amen? You're going to feel directed, maybe even nudged by God. You're like, oh, if you're... something is happening here. Test that spirit. Call up a friend, a brother, a pastor, and say, I feel like I'm being directed. Would you pray with me so that the direction I believe the Spirit's leading, I'm confident is in alignment with his word and his will? There's a rhythm of life that happens when we follow the Spirit. We get in that flow with the heart of the Father. And if you spend time with the Spirit, he will reveal the heart of the Father to you. Okay, I'm going to give you three short encouragements as the band comes. You guys ready for this? Okay. These are just three encouragements for dads this morning. Actually, everyone. You can all have them. Following the Father's heart is a successful life. I was watching YouTube, and I don't know why, but I'm fascinated by this, like, finance bro, alpha bro culture where just a bunch of guys yelling at each other that they're better men. I find this to be a fascinating human phenomenon right now. I don't know if it's just because it's hilarious to me that there's this idea the loudest guy in the room is the best leader, but it's fascinating. Just has anyone seen these people who do this? Okay, yeah, okay, good. All the dudes are like, yes, oh my gosh. Like, and I'm fascinated by this whole thing because they often talk about success. And what does success look like? And it looks like this, and it sounds like this, and unfortunately, it's a gateway to depression because it assumes a level of health and wealth that, you know, you might not be able to control all the time. And I'm fascinated by asking the question, what is a successful life, right? As a guy, is my life successful? Is my life successful if I have this kind of car, this kind of house, these kind of kids, this big of a church? Is my life successful? Am I a successful pastor? Am I a successful father? Am I successful in my business? Do you guys ask these questions? Okay, good. I ask them all the time. Am I successful? And you know what I found is that the definition of success in our life is related to our nearness to the Father's heart, not our accumulation of goods or status. Because, and I know this to be true, not only from the Word of God, which is the most important place to know it's true, but we've already talked about that, but also my own experience, that when I am closest to the heart of God and the most dwelling in His presence, all of that seems incredibly minuscule to the presence of God. Isn't it amazing that if you stare at it, it becomes like a mountain? But if you look at God, it becomes so minuscule. The world might look at you and judge you and say you're not successful, but I want to encourage you, especially dads, fathers who are leading a family, if you seek God, you are successful. You came here this morning. You had reasons to skip. I also don't like getting up early some days. I feel you. But if you did, you are successful. You're successful. If after that argument with your kids, you went into your room and knelt down and prayed to God and said, God, I blew it. It's me, Josh. I blew it again. Help me, lead me. And you went out to your kids who maybe contextually don't understand, and you said, will you forgive me? That is not the heart of God. And they said, okay, and then they ran away. I have no idea. But you did what you knew was to be righteous. You are successful. You are successful. If you did what was righteous and you prayed for that person at your job and it cost you a promotion, but it saw them encounter the love of Jesus, you are successful. If you worked hard at your job, even when you wanted to quit, you are successful. Following the Father's heart is a successful life. Number two, it's good to ask for a fresh filling, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we assume that to be renewed by the Spirit implies failure. But when I read the Word of God, I don't see that. When I talk to the great leaders in my life, the mentors of my life, every day they seek to be filled by the Holy Spirit, and they feel no shame about it. But something, especially dads, come on, we just have this sense of doing it, and then it gets really bad, then we come to the altar. And I just want to encourage you every day, say, Holy Spirit, would you renew me? He's given it to you. Daily, you must seek the bread of heaven to be filled again. Daily, we ask for more of the Father's heart, and daily He gives it. You don't have to wait to Sunday. The altar in your car, the dashboard, the altar in your home, it could be the closet you kneel down and pray, it could be the dinner table, is the perfect place to say, Holy Spirit, would you fill me again? Reveal the heart of the Father and to sense His embrace. It's a good space. My final encouragement is this: God is always speaking. Listen and obey. God is always speaking. The heart of the Father is always being revealed in Scripture, by the Spirit, even in the world around us. You don't need to force Him to speak, but you might have to force yourself to be quiet. And that might come from a place, can we just be honest here? That might come from a place where you feel like if you slow down, you die. If you slow down at work, you're gonna get buried. If you slow down in your schedule, you're gonna be overwhelmed. Anyone ever felt like this? So what do? We keep going and we keep putting on the face, and we keep smiling, and then we're exhausted. And we're beat down. But I wanna tell you that the Lord sees you and knows you, man. He made you to be men. He made you to get stuff done in the way you were created to get stuff done, right? He loves you. And He wants to speak to you. But sometimes that involves taking a moment to pause and listen to His heart and just obey wherever He leads. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to be tempted today to not do that. When you go home even. You're going to get to work, man, on Monday. You'll be like, oh, okay, I really want to do my thing. But the pastor said I was supposed to listen. Okay, here's the thing. Today at some point, it's Father's Day, so ask for this time if you can. Spend 20 minutes and just sit still with the Lord. Have your Bible open. And every time your mind begins to wander, go back to one small scripture and read it. And then just wait. And your mind wanders again, you go back and just read it and wait. How about Psalm 63? I'll recommend that if you want. Just go back and read it. Your mind wanders, what do? You read it again. Why are we doing this? Because we're learning to listen. And then whatever he reveals to you, can I just encourage you, obey. Because the leadership of God is always good and the leadership of the Father's heart is always good. And he longs to lead you in a fresh way. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to encourage you, men of God. Following the Father's heart is a successful life. And it's good. It's a good life to daily say, Lord, would you fill me and renew me and refresh me? And as he does, as he's speaking, listen and obey to what he has to say. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to respond in just a moment. I'm going to give a couple calls to response. The first is a response to believe in Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never received salvation through Jesus Christ, know that it's for you right now. If you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead, you'd say, I need you, Jesus, as a Savior. Maybe you're here and today's a hard day. You're like, I want to know a good father. God is here to be a good father to you. So with every head bowed, just out of respect. And I know there's different ways we do this, some very public and some very private, but I feel like today is a your heart decision where you would say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you have made that decision even a decade ago, but man, it's been a while since he was Lord of your life. But you would boldly say today, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, you're willing and ready to say yes to Jesus, you and him, would you just lift your hand up and say, I say yes to Jesus today. You can put your hand up. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord, I thank you that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we thank you that that new life begins today. And God, I thank you that your love is great, that on the cross you took our sins and in the grave you defeated death and hell and you rose again and you invite us into new life. And we receive that today in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, hey, we're going to respond together. And here's how I want to respond. If you're a dad, I'm going to give some categories, actually. I'm going to put some things into this category. If you are a father, if you're, you know, stepdad, adoptive or foster, or you are grandfather, right? Any of these categories, I'm going to invite you forward in just a second. Also, if you are, I think we have some who are about to have children, right? And I just very sensitively gonna say this. If you're a father who has lost a child, we also have been walking with you in the journey of fatherhood. And we have a promise and we believe in God for your life. So all of these are under the same category. You're not gonna tell us what those categories are. So this is not gonna call you out. But just to say that we're with you and we wanna bless you today as Banner Church. Is that okay? So if you're a father of any of those, maybe even, I'll go as far as this. You never had kids, but you were a spiritual father to many. Like you exist in that just seasoned saint posture. If you're a 20-year-old guy, don't raise your hand. But you know who I'm talking about, right, church? Right? We're not gonna disrespect that. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you're a father, any kind of father, would you just lift your hand? Just say, I'm a dad. Come on, dude, there you go. Yeah, wait. We got like 5 minutes left. Just raise them up all the way. Keep them up. Celebrate dads. Awesome. Would you do me a favor? If you're a dad, would you just come forward right here? We're going to pray for you. Come forward right now, right up to the front. And then just leave a little room. We're going to pray for you. Can we celebrate all the dads here today? I know. Hold on real quick. I know. Hold on a second, Jake. Don't hand anybody anything yet. Take that. Wait, just wait. Don't hand anybody anything yet. Okay, if you're a dad in the back, can you just lift your hand? We got dads in the back. Okay, I know they handed you something because they're very zealous for the work of the Lord. They're going to pray for you in a second. So if they come back, don't be surprised. Okay, they're not taking it back. thank you, guys. Awesome. Hey, we have a gift that I want to give you guys. I've been thinking a lot about what do we give to dads? We've given out multi-tools, hats, and we like that stuff. But one of the things I've been praying and believing for dads is that you would hear the heart of God and that you would listen and obey and walk in that and just feel the freedom of knowing that. There's so many voices in life. There's so many voices in the world. They're going to tell you what you should be doing. But the one we should listen to is God. It's the heart of the Father. And so we got these journals right here. And I want to encourage you to in your prayer time, to write down whatever you feel like the Father is revealing and to put a little date by it and to remember what he's revealing. And over the years, as you lead your family, to go back and look and remember what God has said and be encouraged in your spirit that in the highest moment or the lowest moment that God was there and he was speaking and he was moving, okay? So here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to come down and Barry and Dave and I, we're going to go around. We're going to hand you each one of these and just pray with you really briefly, and the worship team is going to lead us in some worship, okay? But let me pray for you, and if you're in the back, our team's going to go around and pray for you as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. In fact, if you're in this room, just reach your hand out towards these dads. God, we thank you for these fathers. We thank you for the blessing that they are. God, we know that the weight of fatherhood can be heavy, but God, we know it's a blessing from you. And so God, I pray just such an anointing over the men, the fathers of this church. God, that as you speak to them, as you begin to encourage their heart, that more than ever before, they would know your will and your way by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray you would reveal the depths and the riches of the love of God more than ever before. I pray that this is a time in their life, no matter how long they've been fathers, but this is a time of their life where something special begins to be provoked in the spirit, that something begins to be stirred. And even on these pages are dreams and visions, whether they've been a father for 1 year or 30, 40, 50 years, God, whatever it is, I pray you would stir up. God, I pray upon these pages would be the encouragement and the knowledge of who they are in you. That God, while the world is clamoring away at what they should be, that right here on these pages, they would write who you say they are. The undeniable truth of their security in you. I pray a blessing upon your home. I pray a blessing upon your spouses. I pray a blessing upon your children and your children's children in the name of Jesus. I pray a spiritual legacy and inheritance of the Father's heart, that you would know, regardless of your title, regardless of your status, you would know that you are successful because Jesus Christ has said you are a co-heir with him and the Father has anointed you as his son. I pray a blessing upon you in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we stay in a posture of worship? Team, would you lead us? And we're going to come around and pray. So don't leave till we get you one of these, okay?
Thank you for listening to the Banner Church podcast. We hope this message was impactful for you. Check the episode notes to visit our website, follow us on social media, and subscribe to our podcast. We'll see you again next week.